Genesis chapter 7, and begin to read together from verse number 1. Genesis chapter 7, and beginning to read together from verse number 1. Let's hear the word of God, please. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons, and his wife, and his sons' wives with him into the ark, because of the waters of the flood, of clean beasts, and of beasts that are not clean, and of fowls, and of everything that creepeth upon the earth. There went in two and two unto Noah into the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded Noah. And it came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the 3 wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went in unto Noah into the ark, 2 and 2 of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart for his name's sake. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Take a moment. Still ourselves now before the Lord. We come to the preaching of the word. Come to seek the face of God for the help that's needed. You know and love him. Let's draw near together. Let's all pray. Almighty God and Father in heaven, we thank thee again that in the quietness of this meeting house we can draw near to thee in Jesus' name. We thank thee again for the blood of Christ that brings us nigh. We thank thee for that precious blood which we've been singing about. Blessed be the fountain of blood for a world of sinners revealed. Blessed be the dear Son of God. Only by his stripes are we healed. And O God, again in Jesus' name we approach thee at this juncture in the meeting. And we cry to thee, O God, that in a very real way, hush of eternity will come over this gathering. O Lord, we cry to thee, leave us not to go through the motions here. I freely confess my inadequacy to deal with what is now before me in this service. I cast myself upon me. I pray, O God, that you'll take away anything from my life that will hinder now in this meeting. Empty me of self and sin. Wash me in Jesus' blood. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and with power. Bind every power of darkness. And in this meeting and across the land, extend the kingdom of God and of grace. May men and women be born from on high. May we hear the sound of abundance of rain, the one whom we seek coming suddenly to his temple. O God, come we pray, glorify our blessed Lord Jesus, and answer prayer for his sake, and meet the need of every heart. We pray in Jesus' name, and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 25 and verse 46, And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. In that text, the Lord Jesus was stating the two ends which await all mankind. Because everyone in this world tonight will either go to everlasting punishment or life eternal. Everyone in our country tonight someday will either go away to everlasting punishment or enter into life eternal. Everyone in this district where this church is found tonight will either go away to everlasting punishment or enter into life eternal. Let's bring it down even further. Everyone in this meeting will either go away to everlasting punishment or enter in to life eternal. In Matthew 25, the Lord Jesus Christ, as I have said, was speaking of that day when all men will be appointed their everlasting home. But tonight in this meeting, I want to look at a day right here in Genesis when the Lord did something and all but 8 people went away to everlasting punishment. The Lord did something. What did he do? Verse 16 tells us, he closed the door and the Lord shut him in. The narrative that we have read tonight here is one that, as I'm sure, familiar to you all. Noah and the ark. In fact, I would say if you go down into the district tonight in which the church here is found and ask the people, have they ever heard of Noah and the ark? The majority of them will tell you, yes, they have. I'm not saying they understand completely all about Noah and the ark, but at least they'll have heard something of Noah and the ark. It was a day like none other, as far as this world was concerned. It's a day that tells us what God thinks of sin. It's a day that tells us God makes a remedy for sin. God has provided a remedy for sin. Sinner in the meeting, you need to hear that right now. God has provided a remedy for sin. But we're also going to see in this meeting tonight what God thinks of sin. That little word that nobody wants to talk about. Sin. Transgression of the law. Attack on God. An attack upon His goodness and His mercy. Look with me at chapter 6, verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and every creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repent of me that I have made him. But look at verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, in the midst of this world here before us in the book of Genesis, grace has reached a man, God has saved him, and God tells his servant what he's going to do. Judgment's coming. Judgment's on its way upon the world for its sin. Chapter 6 goes on. The Lord tells Noah to build an ark. You know the story. Verses 14 to 22 gives him the instructions about the ark. And in verse 22 we read this. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Chapter 7, verse 1, we read this, and the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. I want to take tonight verse number 16 as my text. And those words that end that verse, and the Lord shut him in. And I want to speak tonight on this subject. What resulted when God closed the door? What resulted when God closed the door? The first thing I want to show you is this. There was the security of this closed door because the people inside were closed in to the divine presence. Look with me at chapter 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. The Lord didn't say to Noah, go into the ark. He says to Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Come to where the Lord already was, to where the presence of God was. And whenever Noah entered that ark and God closed him in, he was closed in with God. He was closed into the divine presence. Noah and his family, there they are. The Lord didn't say, Noah, go into the ark. He says, Noah, come into the ark. The Lord was in the ark. He was closed into the divine refuge. Also, look with me again. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. I know a lot of people talk about Noah's ark, and that's right, we know what they mean. But dear people, it was God's ark. It was God's ark. God used Noah to build it, but the plan was God's. And the point is this, Noah found refuge. from coming judgment and what God had provided. And my dear sinner friend in this meeting tonight, if you are ever going to find refuge from your sin and the wrath of God that awaits the sinner, you will find it in Christ. And if you don't find it in Christ, you won't find it at all. We're going to face this tonight. Noah found the refuge in the ark. He found it in the ark. Look with me at verse 14 of chapter 6. Here's the Lord giving instructions about the ark. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. That word pitch in the Hebrew, it's the word kaphar. It's translated 70 times in the Old Testament to make atonement. It's all gospel language. And we who are saved in this meeting know there's only refuge, there's only forgiveness of sins, neath the blood of atonement. But my dear sinner friend in the meeting, where are you looking for refuge? Where are you looking for the forgiveness of your sins? Because the Bible already said, if you don't find it in Christ, you won't find it anywhere else. The ark was a great type of Christ. We don't have time to go into that tonight. But sinner friend, there was one ark. There was one door, verse 16 tells us of chapter 6, and the door. One way into this ark. As we've said, this ark was provided by God for refuge from his wrath for sin, for the judgment that was coming upon the world. Dear sinner friend, let's apply it again. Out of Christ, here you are in another gospel meeting. Never closed in with God. The way Noah was. The way the believers are. No fellowship with the Lord. No refuge. No communion with the Lord. Our blessed Savior. Each one of us in this meeting that's been saved, born of God, entered into that refuge, that divine refuge, the divine presence of God, knowing him as a loving heavenly Father. But sinner friend, what's your hope? What's your hope? Noah was closed into the divine refuge. He was closed into the divine presence. But he was also closed into something else. He was closed into divine communion. Look with me at chapter 8. Chapter 8 of Genesis. Look at verse 15. Verse number 15. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark. Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. You see, those that seek refuge in that place, in that person that God has provided in the person of his Son, there's divine communion. What a picture of the Mediator. What a picture of our blessed Redeemer. Put his hand in man and his hand in God and brought them together by the blood of the cross. But sinner friend, I want you to see this tonight. The communion was in the ark. It was in the ark. God spake unto Noah, go forth of the ark. The communion was in the ark. And sinner friend, it wasn't near the ark. It wasn't up close to the ark. It was in the ark. Let me put it like this. Communion with God is not in the Free Presbyterian Church. Forgiveness of sins is not in the Free Presbyterian Church. It's in Christ. You don't get to heaven by going to the Free Church. It was in Christ. It's in Christ. And sinner friend, my friend, if you don't find forgiveness of sins there, you won't find it at all. What an encouragement to you. Closed in with God was Noah. Into the divine presence, into the divine refuge, into divine communion. What security there was in the ark. And sinner, what security there is in Christ. My sheep hear my voice. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. The securities of the gospel, security in Christ. But there was something else about this closed door. Yes, there was security for those inside. But what about those that were left outside? The consequences of the closed door. I think the first consequence of this closed door was this. You may think it a strange one. No more preaching for them. No more preaching for them. You see, there was only Noah and his wife and his three sons and their wives that entered into that ark. For those that left outside, what great privileges they'd spurned. Noah, that man of God, that man that grace had reached, he's a preacher. He's a preacher. 2 Peter tells us that. He was a preacher of righteousness. And 120 years he was in building that ark. 120 years he preached and they wouldn't listen. God sent them a preacher until the day that God closed the door. And they'd heard their last sermon. Now, dear unsaved friend, let me ask you this. How many sermons have you heard? How many preachers has God sent you? A workmate, a neighbor, Christian friend. And they try to get a word in with you and warn you of coming judgment, warn you of the consequences of going on without Christ. Don't you see what's happening? God's doing for you what he did for the world of Noah's day. He's sending you a preacher. He did the same for Nineveh when he sent Jonah to it. He sent them a preacher. Let me ask you again, how many preachers has God sent you? Because when God closed that door, all but 8 people had heard their final sermon. They'd heard their final sermon. Never again would they have heard of the seed of the woman bruising the serpent's head. When God withdrew his preacher, he withdrew his mercy. Many sermons have you heard, friend? Preached to maybe year after year. I don't know, I'm a stranger here. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. The Lord Jesus preached on this day. Matthew chapter 24. The Lord's dealing with Noah here. Here's the greatest preacher. What must it have been like to hear the Savior preach? Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. Sinner friend, I want you to see this. I want you to underline that little phrase in verse 39, and knew not. Because that word, that phrase does not mean that they didn't know. I'll tell you what it means. It means they didn't believe the preacher. They didn't believe that God was going to do what he said he was going to do. And Jesus said, they knew not until the flood came and took them all away. They didn't believe that that day of reckoning was coming for their sin. Look at verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, picture it, friend, 120 years, God gave them a preacher, a man of God to preach to them, to warn them of coming judgment. And Christ says of them, a testimony in verse 39, and knew not, doesn't mean they didn't hear. It means they didn't believe the preacher. The Lord Jesus said, and knew not, until the flood came and took them all away. Took them all away. They didn't believe the day of reckoning was coming. Oh, look at them there in verse 38. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, living as if they were going to live forever. Is that the way you're living, my unsaved friend? You know, I said this a couple of weeks ago when I was preaching. I'll say it again. You've absolutely no guarantee you're getting out of this meeting. You could drop dead right now where you are. Think of the horror of that moment. You've died in a church where the word's preached. You've died in a building that's open for the glory of God and the good of souls, and you have died here. You say, preacher, you have absolutely no guarantee I'm going to die here. That's right. But my sinner friend, you have absolutely no guarantee you're not.
Do you see how volatile this situation is about your soul? And here you are again, hearing the gospel preached, just as it was in Noah's day. But sinner friend, listen, there was a day when God spoke, and he said to Noah, come into the ark. And that people had heard their final sermon. What if this was to be the final message you ever hear? Never again hearing those words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe you say, preacher, why did they just not go into the ark? Sinner friend, they didn't go into that ark for the same reason you don't come to Christ. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. They loved their sin. They wanted the ways of the world. And God and that ark and all that it pictured, they didn't want. They wanted their sin. And let's be very honest tonight. We're before God. We're in a public worship service. This meeting's for the glory of God. Let's be very honest. The reason you in this meeting are not saved, it's not that you don't know how to get saved. It's you don't want to be saved. You just want to live a little longer in the way you're living. And maybe a moment from death, just cry upon God to save you as some sort of pass into heaven. My dear friend, you know what that tells me? That tells me that Christ and his cross means nothing to you but a pass into heaven. When God closed that door, that people had heard their last sermon. But I want to show you something else. When God closed that door, the people outside lost all opportunity of heaven forever. Turn with me over to Luke's Gospel. Here's the parallel portion. And again, the Lord Jesus is preaching of this day. But the Lord makes a comparison here. Look with me at Luke chapter 17, verse 26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. But oh sinner friend, now look what the Lord says. He says, likewise. So there's a comparison here. He's comparing those in Noah's day. Look with me. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought and sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Oh, sinner friends, see it. The end of those that had heard their last sermon, what was it? It was the same end as came upon the Sodomite in Genesis 19. When God rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. In Noah's day, they didn't listen to the preacher. And Christ tells us here, likewise, Noah's day, Lot's day, they all ended up in the same place. Sinners, see it tonight. Wouldn't it be awful? Wouldn't it just be absolutely horrific if the Lord was to say of someone in the free church, likewise, they too went away. They too went away to everlasting punishment. For they've been rebellious, careless, as it was in Noah's day. Didn't believe the preacher. They all went away to everlasting punishment. Let's follow them a little further, friend. Let's follow them now to the book of Jude. Because Jude also speaks. Turn with me to the book of Jude. The Lord compares those in Noah's day to those in Genesis 19. When God poured out fire and brimstone upon them. Look at Jude verse 7. Jude verse 7. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them, in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. My dear friend, do you see it? We followed them through the Scriptures. Here they are, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Christ tells us in Luke 17, their end was the same as those in Genesis 19. Here Jude tells us, they're set forth as an example. Sinner, see this. It's an example you want to flee from. There are some examples in that book that you want to follow. Like Peter, like Paul, repenting and believing the gospel. But there's some examples you want to flee from, and that's one of them. Because right now, as we stand in martyrs in 2012 in East Belfast, those in Noah's day who heard their last sermon are still suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Sinner friend, what is hell? What is hell? Hell is the never-ending, unceasing visitation of divine wrath upon the Christ rejecter. The Lord tells us here in the pages of Holy Scripture, they're suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. They went away to everlasting punishment. They went away to eternal perdition. Oh, sinner friend, I'm back to where I started. Everyone in this meeting, either go away into everlasting punishment, or in Christ and through Christ, enter into life eternal. Sinner, what's it going to be? What about your sin? That sin that's an attack upon the very love and mercy and goodness of God. That holy law that's the very mirror of God Himself, and you've transgressed at time without number. You're guilty before God. You've offended God. He's angry with the wicked every day. You're on your way to eternal ruin. No hope of heaven outside of Christ. You can think about heaven, you can talk about heaven, you can sing about heaven all you like. It's not going to get you one atom nearer heaven. You're in trouble with God, sinner friend. You're in trouble with God. That means that everything else in your life pales into insignificance. You've no anchor for the soul. You're a breath from eternity. You're a moment from losing your soul. Remember the words of J.C. Ryle, that godly Anglican bishop of Liverpool. He said this, you don't have to be a great sinner to go to hell. Just keep coming to church and never come to Christ. Just keep listening, never believing. Just keep hearing, never repenting. And by you'll be a lost, perishing soul. These shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. Sinner, what are you going to do? My friend, it's time to repent, believe the gospel. The great refuge of sin is Christ. The great remedy for sins is blood. God sent His Son. Paul put it like this in Galatians 4. When the fullness of time was come, that moment ordained by the Godhead, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman. There's the incarnation. Made under the law to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Sinner friend, Christ has done it. He's honored that law. You have broken time without number. Every step he took, every moment of his life, my friend, he lived it for sinners. And then he went to that cross of Calvary. But he didn't go in isolation. He went as the representative of his people. And there he took their guilt. He took their punishment. Satisfied divine justice. Propitiated divine wrath. Why? That sinners like you and I might go into life eternal. But my friend, be warned. Because God deals with sin in one of two places. It was either dealt with on Golgotha's brow. When the Son of God and the Son of Man gave his life a ransom for many. Or it's dealt with in the fires of eternal hell. Either way, your sin will be paid for. Sinner friend, we've got to face it head on. You have a soul that's of more value than the whole world. Genesis 7 tells us what God thinks of sin. All but 8 people sent away to everlasting punishment. Sinner, God's not going to overlook your sin. He's just. He's a pure eyes and to behold iniquity. I look around this congregation, I have no idea who's saved and who's not. But God knows. God knows them that are His. God knows them that have been preached to for years. Sinner, don't you see the great warning from Noah's day? Some of these days you're going to hear your last sermon. You're going to hear the final amen. And wouldn't it just be awful if the Lord were to say of a sinner tonight in Martyrs Memorial, no more preaching. They've heard their last sermon. They've rejected Christ for the last time. That's what they did in Noah's day. They didn't reject Noah. They rejected the message. They rejected the Savior. Sinner, what are you going to do? As this meeting draws to a close, heaven looks on. Right now, maybe in your heart, there's a battle raging. And right now, the devil's given you every reason under the sun as to why it shouldn't be tonight. Well, let me just tell you what God says. God says, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. God says, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Sinner, it's time to come to Christ. It's time to be saved. Because here in Genesis chapter 7, all but 8 people went away to everlasting punishment. And they're there tonight. All because they didn't believe the preacher. They didn't believe that God was going to do what Noah told them He was going to do. But our Lord Jesus says of them, the flood came and took them all away. Sinner, is it not time you were saved? We've been singing tonight about the precious blood of Christ. It cleanses from all sin. You say, preacher, you don't know my sin. Dear sinner friend, your sin is between you and God. It's nobody else's business. I'm here to tell you there's a righteousness to cover your guilt. I'm here to tell you that at the cross of Calvary, Jesus shed His blood to wash the sinner white as snow. But my dear friend, what good will that do you if you never come to Him? You've got to get past the head knowledge. You've got to act on it. You've got to repent, believe the gospel. You've got to come to Christ. Balaam, what an example he is. He said, let me die the death of the righteous. Let my last end be like his. He didn't want to end up in the fires of eternal hell. And that's exactly where he ended up. Because he never got any further than that statement. The Holy Ghost through Peter tells us Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. Sinner friend, what sin's stopping you? You know in your heart what's stopping you. And God knows what's stopping you. It's time to repent, believe the gospel. The Lord says, come now. Let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red as crimson, they shall be as wool. But sinner, you've got to come. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Can I just say before I close this meeting, if there is one here and you are troubled, and you'd like to speak with us or one of the elders here, you make that need known. Sinner friend, you have a soul that's of more value in the whole world. You have a soul that will live forever. It's time you were saved. It's time to come to Christ. Or even there in the quietness of your pew, lift the heart heavenward. Ask God to be merciful to you, save you, forgive your sin, and speak to us at the door or seek out counsel. Be our joy to help you. Father in heaven, take thy word, bless it to every heart. Let all that's been of the preacher fall to the ground, for it's worthless. But O God, for this gathering before thee tonight, may they all in Christ and through Christ be found in that kingdom that will never pass away, entering into life eternal. Hear prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.